So, welcome to 107.5 FM in Savannah. This is WRUU.org. This show is The Customer Isn't Always Right. I've got my boy Evan here. So, Evan, in the morning, usually, or not in the morning, but usually when I start this show, I get a recap, and I know you're in that business. So, how was your Valentine's Day week at work?
Valentine's Day itself wasn't that bad. A lot of the other rest of the staff got screwed pretty hard on some big tables. I did pretty okay. Yesterday was pretty terrible, and Sunday was not great. What about you?
Right.
Are you doing
So
this stuff still?
y'all are open Sundays? Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're
Y'all are
open
open
every day.
Sundays?
Yeah.
Love
Yeah.
it. Yeah, no, I'm only there Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
And
Nice.
it's just karaoke, so it's not that crazy. But I made a crazy amount of money on Friday and Saturday and Thursday actually as well. I was calling it Valentine's Day, aka Singles Awareness Day, aka Saddies versus
One of my coworkers was calling Sunday Side Chick Sunday. The day after
Baddies.
Valentine's
Listen,
Day.
man, honestly, a coworker of mine pointed this out. It kind of seems like it's like 2026 is like the year of the cuck. It seems like, 'cause I saw a lot of dudes like bringing these girls in and just watching them mingle with other guys, still paying for everything. And I'm just like, yo, no way. This would not, I would not, I cannot, I wouldn't ever.
You
I
might
would
be
leave you at the
right
bar.
though. It was a weird
I'm
combination of
sure you
people.
noticed. Just keep an eye. Yeah, keep an eye on it. It's very weird. All right. So let's start with you. What do you do? Who are you for these people that are going to be listening to this?
I work, well, I'm Evan.
You don't have to
I'm
name the
Evan.
place.
Okay,
Okay.
I'll name the place. I don't care. I work at a place called
it's
Water
in it's in
Grill.
California. Yeah, it doesn't
Yeah,
matter.
I'm
Okay.
not worried. Fire me, please. I
Yeah.
work at a place called Water Grill in downtown San Diego. It's like 2 blocks from the ballpark, and it's a high-end like fish house. So
Okay.
we sell. We're one of six restaurants on the West Coast that sell live in-tank king crab cooked to order. Those go for $1,000. They're usually around 11 pounds. Yeah,
What?
$95 a pound.
Bro.
Yeah,
You,
buddy.
wow. All right. I'm over here
Yeah.
slinging songs. You're over here slinging gold.
It's pretty good when it hits. And then yeah, we have like American Wagyu, so like one like a 6 ounce fillet of the Wagyu is like $100. So our
Okay.
like we're pretty expensive. So Saturday we did a prefix menu for Valentine's Day and I walked to $750. It was like some of the most money I've made there yet. Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday. Yes. Well, see, think about this though. Saturday, I walked away just doing karaoke with $550.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Damn, Valentine's Day be hitting with that
Bro, I'm the man over here. I'm the
karaoke,
guy.
huh?
You want to have a good time? Come to where I work. I can't say where it
Okay.
is, but come to where I work.
Okay.
Come to Congress and find me. Listen for it.
Can't plug it on here. I understand. But yeah, I used to manage, for a long time, not there, but I just serve. I keep my head down, make my money, get in, get out. It's easy
Yeah.
enough.
It's the best way to do it. What else do you do? I know that serving is not your life passion. So what else do you do?
Yeah,
You don't wake up
no.
like, ooh, I can't wait to serve somebody today.
Oh
That's
my
gonna be
God, it's a
great.
means to an end. No,
Yeah.
I do concert photography and videography, and then I also am a drummer of a co of the Coheed and
Okay.
Cambria tribute band, the Neverenders. And then,
Nice.
I'm sure your listeners will figure it out at some point, but you and I used to play in a band together for quite some time, so the
Yeah,
Dark
yeah,
Matters.
yeah. Fun times. People still ask me about that. There's a guy actually, I'll talk to you about this later. There's a guy who wants to re-release all that stuff for us.
What?
Yeah, he's like, dude, people need to hear this on Spotify. So, like, hit me up. I got his number. I'm going to call him in a little bit. I'll probably call him, like, later on this week.
Yeah, we'll have to discuss this off the air.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, he's like, people need to hear this. It's stupid that it's not on Spotify. I was like, yeah, it's fine, man. Whatever. So, awesome. So, how many years did you say you've been doing this?
Oh, we're coming up on 17 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So now this is normally the time where I'd be taking for stop for promotions, but since we're doing this on Zoom, we're going to wait till a little bit later to do that. We'll probably guesstimate a half an hour, or maybe actually after we go through the good experiences, we'll pause there.
Okay.
And that'll be my thing for the commercials. Or they're not called commercials, promotions. Man.
Okay.
All right. So let's start out. Give me like your top two or three best interactions. And before you answer, are they pre or post pandemic?
Ooh, best interactions. That's actually harder to think of. Than
I know. That's why I always
worst.
Do it first. That's why I always do it first.
It took me off guard there. Oh man. Best interactions.
Touching, like a time when a customer's like, hey man, you might feel like you're doing a bad job, but you're not doing a bad job. Or coolest, like you met someone famous, anything like that.
Wow, it's really bad that I can't think of anything. I've been doing so long, and I can't, there's nothing that stands out.
All right, so in these cases, I'll guide the conversation different elsewhere because there are some people who just like, I can't think of any good ones. Have you noticed that people have been less or more polite post-pandemic?
Less, but I honestly think that has a lot to do with where I work now, too, because, you know, like when I first moved out to San Diego, I was working at a brewery. That like obviously also sold food, and I was like one of the main managers there and serving. So like I could just tell people like no or like get out.
Like, right, that's the beauty of my job. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, now I'm a server in like a high end fish house. Like I can't like it has to be like oh yes, what of course, sir. Like I can't I can't talk back. You know?
Yeah. Of course,
there's
I get that.
No, yeah. So and we get a lot of tourists down there, but at the ballpark, it's downtown. So, like, we get tourists, we get baseball people, we get people that are here for conventions. So, like,
mm-hmm. Y'all are close again, to the stadium?
Literally two blocks away and two blocks from the convention awesome. Center. So, like, when Comic-Con's here, it's like madness. So, like, it's such a diverse.
Did it hurt your business when they took away the football team?
No, I moved out here after.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I was pissed. I was so excited to go to a football game for like $15. And now there's nine LA teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I want to say people were, I think things were a little bit more chill before. I think people have been getting crappy service since the pandemic. So everyone just is like, oh, screw these workers.
Yeah. But, I think it's a combination of the two. I think it's some subpar workers sometimes because you need bodies, you know, especially when people who are good workers just decide they couldn't wait anymore.
Exactly.
But I also think it's partially due to, like, I think everyone kind of got used to that, like, point and click, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I am going to have this now because I can do this right now and I don't have to interact with anyone. And, you know, I think some people, like, you got to realize, too, there's some people who turned 21 during the pandemic and have no idea what a bar is like.
That's actually very true.
They did that for 2 years. 2 years of their lives spent not being at a bar. So now it's like.
But Mario, that's 5 years ago now.
Yeah, I know. But some of these people are still jerks. You know, I've had people threaten me. I've had, it's all kinds of stuff. Like just nonsense. It's like straight up. Garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage people. Like, yo, how have you not been punched in the face already by someone who's not me?
No one's told you you don't have any manners. I don't get it either.
Yeah. And they get appalled. They're like, oh, when you tell them, like, hey, you use a word like no, and like, oh my God. And you know, I had to tell a guy one time, I told his girlfriend no numerous times about doing a specific song. And she just kept asking, having other people ask me, like all those sort of things. Finally, she sends him over thinking it's going to be like this big thing. And he was actually really cool. And I was like, man, I don't know what she told you, but do you want to hear my side of the story? He's like, actually, I do. And I was like, oh, awesome. I told him the side of the story. He's like, ah, she didn't tell me any of that. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, listen, man, no disrespect to you, but it seems like your girlfriend has never heard the word no before. I'm like, maybe you should start saying that word around her because she has zero manners. He's like, I don't disagree with you. I was like, all right.
He can't even say no to you.
Right. Right.
Oh, wait. Okay. So going back to your question about positive things.
Positive, yeah.
I have one, and it actually happened a couple months ago.
Okay.
It was Deftones was doing Delos Deftones out here at Petco Park. Okay. And I had tickets, but I was getting ready for the tour, for the NeverEnders tour, or it wasn't even the tour. It was the cruise, and I needed more time to practice, and I was working my butt off and all this stuff. And it was, like, Delos Deftones is, like, over a weekend here. Even though it's one day, they set up throughout the whole week. They take over the stadium. So this table comes in, and they're wearing Deftones gear. Deftones did a pop-up of merch. And the day before. So I'm like, oh, are you guys going to the show tomorrow? They're like, yeah, like we go every year, this and that. And I was like, oh, I had to sell my tickets. I had like GA floor tickets, like for the Padres Stadium.
So, yeah, meanwhile, in Savannah, no one tours over here.
No, they only go to Atlanta. So the table's telling me, like, we're talking. And I was like, oh, you know, I had tickets, but I'd sell them. I gave him the whole lowdown. I go, oh, well, hopefully next year, maybe we'll see you there next year. Whatever. I get a phone call the next morning. It's from the server that opened, and they're like, hey, these guys are here. They were your table yesterday or something, and they want to give you free tickets to the show. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, VIP floor seats. And I was like, okay.
Sick.
So they were like, I guess they told him to give me a message that they felt bad that I couldn't go, and they had some family that couldn't make it. And instead of selling them, they were like, we'll just pay it forward. And me and Jill got to go VIP status for Deftones.
That's awesome.
It's like $500 tickets for free.
Jesus. That's awesome.
And that, that's like, a restored big win. I think this restores my faith in humanity right now. Like,
yeah,
there's actually some good people still out there. You just have to wait for that karma to come back.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's, I wouldn't say that there's like crazy, like stories, like, oh, this person was great. This, that, and third. It's always these like small conversations.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, right when you're like, I'm going to throw this microphone through this window and I'm going to punch someone on my way out and I don't care. And then as you're thinking about doing it, someone's like, hey man, you're doing a great job. And you're like, all right, fine. All right, I guess. All right, I guess I'll stay for a little bit longer. All right, cool. Yeah, that's actually a good one. I remember you told me that one. That's a good one. That is a good one. So obviously it's a lot more terrible experiences than not. We've been talking for what? How long do you think? Maybe is it time for a break or no?
It's we're at 19 minutes. So we got another 20.
All right. Let's do one. Let's give me your least. All right. So on a scale of three, one being the worst experience you've ever experienced, three being the not as worse, give me the third one.
Okay, I was going to say, a scale of 1 to 3 is the strangest scale I've ever been.
I'm only giving you the option to tell me three stories.
You want top three, and you want
top three. Give me the third one. Worst. Yeah, give me the bottom one. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Just because I don't think this is the worst, and this just happened. I think there's worse things that have happened.
Yeah.
I probably should. When you told me you wanted to do this, I probably should have been going through my head and remembering the things. Jill might even have better memory of my complaining to her after work. But this literally just happened yesterday. And I want to preface this by saying, in this industry, I don't think. Oh, actually, there's definitely us that are racist, and then there's others of us that have noticed stereotypes. Yeah. Continually do the same things. And that's a little bit different than being racist, because I'll give everybody the same service. It's just, you're going to prove to me if my assumptions are correct when I pick up the check at the end.
Right, right. I'll hear people moan and groan when certain groups come in, and I'm just like, well, come on, guys.
You don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It could be different, because I've had other people prove them wrong, you know what I'm saying? But, like, stereotypes are there. They exist.
Because exactly that point, like, when I look at a table, I'm not like, oh, these guys are black, these guys are white, these guys are Asian. It's based upon how our interaction goes when the table starts. And that's when I'm like, okay, this is this kind of person. This is where we're going to go. So that being said, there were eight Russian guys all talking Russian as they walked in. Now, it was raining yesterday here in San Diego, President's Day, the Monday after Valentine's Day. So it's pretty freaking slow. And these guys come in, and there's, like, really nobody in there. I've got two other tables. They walk up to the bar, and they just say to the bartender, like, you have beer here? And they're like, yes. And they point to, like, the 19 taps that are right in front of their faces. So they order a drink at the bar, and then I see my host coming up with me with, like, a seating chit. And I'm like, oh, no, they're going for me. And she's like, oh, they're going to get some drinks at the bar, and then they're going to sit down with you. Now, meanwhile, I'm supposed to be out of there. In the next hour, I was going to be cut. So I only have two tables, no reservations. And I'm like, damn it. So I'm like, okay, like, all right, don't get ahead of yourself. Long story short, I walk over there and I greet the table. Everybody ignores me. Everybody's talking in Russian. And I literally walk away with the front. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just go F myself. Great. Fantastic. So I come back and, like, I'm trying to explain to them stuff, because they were, like, looking at the king crabs. And I'm like thinking, okay, maybe there's eight of them. Maybe they get a king crab. It's $1,000.
All right. Maybe we're good here.
So they're all drinking beers.
I can tell by your size that that's not a thing.
You'll like this. So they're all drinking and talking, and they start to order stuff. They're like, they open this one guy's ordering from the table, and he's like, okay, we'll get some salads, baby kale salad, shrimp Louis salad, and lobster roll. Bring two lobster roll. So I was like, okay, there's one in warm butter, there's one in mayo, bring both. And then, like, they all start talking to each other in Russian, and then he was like, you have this. And I was like, no, we don't have – I can't remember what he asked. I was like, I don't have that. If it's not on the menu, we don't have. Okay. And then one guy's like, okay, you have sea bass? And I said, yes, there's a filet, and then there's head-to-tail bone-in fish. Which one do you want? He goes, okay, what's the largest whole fish? So I said, 2 pounds. How many grams, 2 pounds? I said, I don't know.
I have no idea,
sir. He goes, you know how many ounces? I said, yes, 32. Okay, about how many kilograms? I said, if I don't know grams, I can't tell you kilograms. I was like, you can, I can't take my phone out, sir, but you can. I can tell you the pounds that we have, and you can do the conversion. And the guy goes, okay,
They don't allow you to have your phone out at all?
No. Not even to do, like, math. I have to ask my watch.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still do it, but I can't do it, like, in front of a table, you know?
Right.
So the guy's like, you bring fish out? We can see it? I said, no. He goes, is it in aquarium? I said, no. I said, 2 pounds is, like, this big. About how much meat after cooking is there? From 2 pounds. I said, I don't know. Every fish is different. You could have a pound. And we're going through, like, this stupid stuff. And then I'm telling them that we've got American Wagyu. Okay. I'm like, we have American Wagyu. It's Japanese Wagyu beef hybrid with American Angus, the highest grade of marbling available. It's melt in your mouth. Delicious goodness from Snake River Farms. They're world renowned for their beef. They're the only ones that can get this kind of beef. And the guy looks at me and goes, no, Kobe beef, best beef. You lie. And I was like, no, but okay. He goes, you entitled to your own opinion. I was like, okay, whatever. Fine,
sure.
So they order all this stuff. Fast forward. Their beers are starting to get empty. I lean over and I'm behind the guy, right? His back is to me. And I see the empty beer glass, and I go to take the beer glass, and I'm like leaning over, like I'm like right next to his face, and I was like, "Would you like another beer?" And he just totally ignores me and talks over me. And so I walk away with the I'm like, "Okay, fine, whatever." And then as I'm walking by, he's like, "Hey, buddy, extra beer." And I was like, "Oh, snap. Okay.
That's how we're gonna
do it. I just asked you if you wanted one, but you ignored me. So, okay." Fast forward to the end of the meal, and they're getting ready to pay, and they're all like, they all went outside to smoke, and then they came back in, and then I couldn't even clear the table because they're like, "No, we're still eating." They had like everything on the table still. And where I work, you need, like, when they get up to leave, there should be like almost nothing on the
table.
Nothing,
right.
I have to bust my own tables. Like, previous.
Yo, what?
Yeah. And I tip out bussers. I tip out about 33% of my tips.
Yo,
it's wild.
I hope the money's good.
Yeah. When it hits, it hits. When it's bad,
that's wild to me. So, that's, even as a person who's not a server, that's wild.
It's bonkers. So, they're getting up to leave. They're at the bar. They're all pulling out cash. The bill is $505. Okay.
Okay.
They're all pulling out cash. I'm watching them because I had a really good feeling. I've been doing this a long time. I had a really good feeling something wasn't going to go right. The guy hands me $520. And they go,
"How much was the bill?"
$505.
Oh my God, dude.
You're about $85 short, you know?
Yeah.
So, and my manager's at the host stand at the front, one of my senior manager. So I walk up, I'm like, "Not today, Satan." So I walk up to them as they're leaving, and I went, hey guys, just really quick. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there's no gratuity. Tip is not included in this total. And the guy, the biggest jerk of them, is like, "Yes, I know." And I said, "Okay, so it's 505. You left me 520. Or he said that back to me. He's like, "The bill was 505. I give you 520. I said, "Yes." So I looked him dead in the eyes. I said, "So $15 tip?" And he goes, "Yes." And I said, "Have a fantastic day, sir." And they turned around and like they started talking to each other. And I literally walked right past the host stand. I was like, "I don't know why I freaking work here. I don't know why I'm here."
Yeah.
And my manager walks away because they know they can't say anything to me or them.
Yeah.
And I, 2 minutes later, this another guy from the group walks back in and goes, "Oh, I'm very sorry for misunderstanding," and gives me $30 more. And I said, "Oh, wow, thanks so much. I hope you have a blessed day."
Oh, man.
So I basically worked that table. I was there 2 hours after I was supposed to be. And I basically spent $10 to serve those people because I still have to tip out on everything that they ordered.
Oh, my God, dude.
Look me dead in the face and said, "Yeah, 15 on 500. That sounds about right."
Yeah, totally.
You're it's not like 2%.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even the 20%, that should have been like $101.
Yeah.
What the hell?
4%.
Evening Eclectic features weekly conversations with and the music of national and international musicians from a wide range of musical genres. Join me, Dave Lake, your Evening Eclectic host, and these musical guests each week on Sunday nights from 8 until 10 p.m. on WRUU.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. to Road Trip with Tom here on WRUU, a journey of live music to destinations unknown. That's Road Trip every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM.
I am Gina Cherie, and you are listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org.
The City of Savannah is hosting an open house on Wednesday, February 18th. On the Civic Center Legacy Project and surrounding Tricentennial Park at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Civic Center,
301 West Oglethorpe Avenue Ballroom, beginning with an open house at 5:30 p.m., followed by a presentation at 6 p.m. More information is available online at www.savannahga.gov/planning under Planning Initiatives.
So that was crazy, man. I hate that. There's nights where people run me ragged. Like, granted, it's karaoke and you would think, like, you're just sitting there. Like, you're not doing anything. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, I wish it was just that. So, like, the bartenders get, like, that nice four or five foot, shield between them and a customer. You know,
right?
I don't. I'm in a booth on the floor, so I get people hanging on me, you know, touching me all the time.
And you can't walk away.
And I can't walk away. And they're talking directly into my face. Like, it is. I had to kick a lady out not too long ago for sexually harassing me.
What?
She tried to kiss me twice on the mouth.
Ew.
Dude, some girl kissed me on the cheek the other day. And she started getting up and she had a bloody nose.
Ew.
I was like, what is this? Like, what Ew. Is what this the- life? Like, I had to pause it. I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to take a break. And I had to just, like, leave for half an hour. Like, this is terrible. I was like, this is so horrible. But the money was really good that night. So I kind of just, like, stuck it out and just dealt.
Isn't it so sad that it's like it basically becomes like hush money? Like, that's what we talk about this all the time at where I work. It's like yeah, like everybody walks in like, we freaking hate this place. I hate this place, and you walk out like, you know, like, I'll see you tomorrow. It wasn't bad. It's
like, basically, yeah, they pay you. Yeah, you get abused quite a bit. Like that lady I had to kick out for sexual harassment. She was like a lawyer or something. And she offered to pay me any amount of money that I wanted to, like, not kick her out. And I was just like, no, you have to leave. My friend's like, what are you doing? I was like, because then she would have just owned me for the rest of the night. And it would have been terrible.
I gave you $100.
Yeah. I gave you this much money. Let me put my hand on your crotch. Like, no, all right, no. Like, this isn't happening. Anyway, all right. Second one? If you got a second one above that one,
since that one was recent, second one. I mean, I there's something that always sticks out in my mind that always used to happen. When I was working in Newark, when I was managing the bar in Newark. I took you there a couple of times to 27 Mix. So, there's too many incidences there that...
I can only imagine in Newark, like, I can only imagine, man.
But my like, one of the classic things that would always happen is, this drink isn't strong enough, make it strong. And it's like, you're not going to get any more alcohol than the alcohol you're paying for. So, yeah,
if you want to double down now, then we could talk, but
yeah.
Well, that's what asking for.
That I got to say was the best thing about moving out here to San Diego was that, like, because there's so much craft stuff out here and it's like pretty hipster around a lot of the places, but you serve a cocktail and it doesn't taste like booze. People don't get upset because they purchased a cocktail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they want the mixology. They want the flavor profile.
Yeah. They're not there just getting messed up. Yeah.
And Newark would be like, all right, roll out a cocktail program. And they're like, I don't taste any booze. I'm like, you're not really supposed to just bunch of vodka. Like,
if you wanted just a bunch of vodka, I could have just poured you a vodka on the rocks. Like, what are we talking about here?
I'll give you another shot. You can make it as strong as you want. But that used to be the bane of my existence over there, was like people complaining that the drinks weren't strong enough and like having to argue with them and then be like, okay, like, do you want me to make it for you? I was getting to the point where I was like, I'm going to leave the liquor on the side and I'm going to mix the rest of the drink. And you yourself can pour the alcohol in there and see that you've been given the correct amount. You're paying for this whether you want to or not. Sorry.
Yeah, like, it's happening either way.
Yeah. There's no way of avoiding it. So that was always a fun argument. Number one, though.
Yeah, number one. The worst.
Number one. It's hard because, like, there's a lot of people obviously that like to complain. I feel like I want to ask Jill because, hey, Jill, are you in a meeting?
Huh?
Can you off the top of your head think of my worst experience that I've ever told you about as a server? I know yours is quesadilla lady. That one was pretty bad. But is there anything that sticks out to you?
Like, I was being a server? Like,
that I've told you about? I usually tell you all my horror stories.
I mean, tell me about the guy at the heart attack.
Oh, I mean, that's different. That's different. Yeah, a guy just had a stroke at my table the other day.
It's not funny, but
it's not bad. It's just a scary experience. But
yeah, right. Like, there's a dude who peed in the trash can not too long ago next to the bar. Yeah, yeah.
You can't think of anything? No.
I mean, we can move it. We can move on. We can
move on from that.
They're all bad. Regardless. All right. So let's go with the questions I have. So the first one, obviously, aside from monetary reasons, you're there because it's money. Yes. But take the money out of it, because I'm sure you could find other things to do. Why do you stick with that? If you had to pinpoint a reason that wasn't money.
There is none.
Like, what do you like about it?
Nothing.
That's a fair answer. Everyone likes to give me like a BS. Like, well, it's the people. And the Like, yeah, no. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Like,
no, so, I mean, all right. I'm good at it. That's really what it boils down to, right? Like, it's something that I've been doing for so long, and like I know that I kill it. Like, I multitask. I watch all of my other coworkers drown and complain. Means. Yeah, and I watch them, and, like, I was saying before that, like, our busters are not supposed to bus for us, and they, like, make the busters get them their coffees. They make them pre-bus their tables. They do all these things, and I'm crushing it solo dolo. Sometimes in a bigger section than them, and I just look around and I'm like, I don't know how you got this job. And like, at our job, we're supposed to give a menu tour, and this is what I mean by, like, we're hoity-toity. Like, I'm supposed to have the menu and open it and present it and go, so we're our own seafood distribution company, and we have a little bond from our appetizers. Here's two good appetizers. It takes 8 minutes, and then they triple seat you, and I'm like, I can't give an 8-minute menu tour while I've been triple sat to three different tables.
Yeah.
So I'm at the mode, and I'm sure there's a lot of others out there that are like this at this point, too, where I just go in, I make my money, I do what I got to do, whatever I got to do to scrape
just
by.
Kidding,
and yeah. And I do it because, like we were saying before, especially here in California, we get minimum wage, which is $18 an hour plus tips. So
I wish, dude. I wish.
Yeah, however, the tips I claim there are pretty high. I've got to claim at least 10% of my sales. So really, every 2 weeks, I'm only getting around $300, but it's still another $300.
Right.
So, I mean, over the course of the year, it still adds up. So nothing really to kind of make the transition to try to start something new, especially where I live in San Diego, where things are astronomically priced. I can't go from averaging, you know, $45 to $65 an hour to going to making $25 an hour.
That was a conversation that Lena and I had the other day where it was like, I was complaining a little about the job, and it was like, we hit a little bit of a slow patch. She's like, well, you need to get another job this and third. I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand. Like, when it's not like this, I'm making like double or triple what's offered out there.
Yeah.
Like, I am not going to go back to working on a line when I know I can go out there and make triple that amount of money just for talking.
Right. Why would you?
You know what I mean? Why would I want to cook food, clean up a restaurant, like, for way less than I'm worth? Or why do I want to go work at a dock? Like, why am I going to go do any of that? You know what I mean? Like, why would I do any of that? And even still right now, like, even right now, like, I'm looking into, you know, I'm actually going to have to start pitching this show soon to, like, other, like, stations or, like, podcast stuff. And even still, like, once I get in there, that's still only, like, I was looking at radio jobs, it's only, like, 40, 50. like $1,000 a year. Like, I could still make way more doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I can nail one of those where I could do it from home, then I would still do karaoke. You know what I mean? Because I would be making crazy money. But, you know, the real part of that, though, is that, like, if I decide to move this, like, if I get picked up by somewhere else, 9 out of 10 times I'm probably going to end up back in New Jersey. You know, like, back in New York, like, in that area, because that's where all the, like, that's where all the big stuff is. Like, unless I find my way out to California, and even still, it's going to be expensive as hell.
Yeah.
So.
But I will say, though, you know, out here, the pay, they do pay you, like, livable wage. Like, they understand if you have to live out here. Most of the places will pay you a decent amount. But exactly that point, and it's like, I'm trying right now to get out of this industry by taking classes and stuff in Salesforce and trying to get out of here. But even if I'm out, I would still probably hold a part-time job just because
why wouldn't
it's
you?
Extra money. Yeah.
Right.
If I can make another $400 a week, I mean, that's almost $5,000 more a year. I mean,
right.
Like,
right. Like, the only reason I transitioned to this fully is because when at some point I was only doing 3 days a week and making more money on those 3 days a week than I was at my full-time.
Wow.
And I was like, forget this. I was like, I don't need this full-time job. Like, forget this.
No.
I'm going to just go do this. So, like, I get it. It's wild. So, anyway, my next question is, for anyone new getting into that industry, serving, bartending, what have you, what advice do you have for them, other than don't do it?
I actually talk about this a lot. Because we have like really young food runners and bussers that they're like in college and stuff. And it's really just like, don't get stuck. I got stuck. Like, so many people do this as like a part-time thing through school or because they're following another thing that they want to do. And sometimes, perfect example is me. You put other things on hold, like internships or studies or school or something, because you're like, okay, well, I'm making really good money and I want to keep having fun or I want to keep making good money. But then the other opportunities that could have led to something bigger, you might have had to go part-time or struggled for a little while, can pay off way better in the long run. So, you know, it's like we've got these college kids at where I work now, and they're like, oh, I need to make money, or like, I think I'm going to skip internship because I want to keep working here. And it's like, no, like, if you're just going to get stuck. Like,
yeah.
I said the same thing when I was in college, and here I am 17 years later at 34, and I'm stuck here. There's nowhere to go. And people think, and I'll say this too. We all think when we first get in this industry, oh, I'll be a host, then I'll be a food runner, I'll become a server, then I'll be a bartender, and then like one day I'll be a manager, like I'll manage better than any of these people. And you know what? You're right, you probably will. But you'll be paid the worst in the entire restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is no
as a manager watching a server make out with twice your money is crazy. Like, no. I'm in charge of you. I should be making more money than you.
And it's not even the money, it's the time, right? I would be fine as a manager making the same amount of money as a server if it meant more freedom.
All because right, but it doesn't.
It's less.
It means, it means less freedom. Oh, dude, I've been there. Like, I was a kitchen manager at a Cuban spot, and it was, like, terrible. It was the absolute worst. Like, getting calls when I'm not even at work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, no. Like, this is not how this works.
You think it's, the salary and stuff is like the grass is green, is better. And then they're like, oh, we'll give you PTO. But guess what? You can never use it because you're never allowed to be off because you're the manager. So.
it's a catch 22 every time.
Yeah. And I guess like the shortest bit would be like, don't take things personally. You got to roll with it. Like, there, obviously, some days are going to be better than others.
They're
going to get you down. Yeah, but you just got to roll. Like, if someone's being a jerk, you got to move on. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You got to have.
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that the most common response I get from that question is, patience, being able to have patience. If you don't have patience, you're not gonna survive. Because you just when you think it's too busy, it will get busier.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's those holidays like here, it's St. Patrick's Day where it just gets wild.
Oh.
Like it's the third largest St. Patrick's Day celebration in the country. So it gets
what?
Dude, Savannah has 120,000 people who live here, right? Proper.
Right.
During St. Patrick's Day, there's about 2 million people here.
Oh, my God. It's That's flooded. The worst holiday to be busy on. It's the drunkest, grossest.
Well, you've been here. You've been here. You've seen it. You're allowed to drink in the street. Everything is drinking. True. Like, there's nothing to do unless you are an alcoholic. Like, so. it's how true. It goes.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
That's how it goes. All right. So, other questions. So, what advice do you have? What advice do you have for any coworkers?
Like the ones that I currently work with?
Ones that you work with or new coworkers that you're meeting? Maybe they're not necessarily new to the job, but they're new to the place.
Do better. Already do better. I don't know. Like it's weird. This place where I work now, and I was saying this before, the blessing and the curse of this place is that there's not like there's some teamwork, but there's not a lot of camaraderie or like true teamwork.
Right.
Like when we can help each other, we kind of will. But otherwise, like I just stay in my lane and I do my thing because a lot of people, if you help them, don't help you back. Right. And I'm very much of the do unto others is have them do unto you. So it's like I would tell people where I work now, like, you know, like. You got to keep an eye out for who's helping you. And like, I hate to say it in the cutthroat, but don't help people that don't help you.
Right.
There's a lot of people that I work with that
people will take advantage of you.
Yeah. That. And it's like, you know, they love to complain, but they do it to themselves. Like we'll be at an end of a shift. I'll try to be getting signed up by the closer and they're like running around and like, they're like, oh my God, like they triple sent me this. And I was like, well, what do you need help with? I can't even tell you right now. I'm like, okay, well then.
I'll see you later. Yeah.
Screw you. I can't help you if you don't tell me how.
Yeah.
Or you wait until you're drowning, and then you're like, there's no managers around. I'm drowning. I'm like, well, you waited until you're drowning. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
You're already sinking. Right? What do you want me to do? The boat's underwater.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So don't be afraid to ask for help. That's pretty much what I
communication is, is a common one. Communication is a common response that I get from here. Okay. Now, finally, what advice do you have for any customers? If you need customers' advice, what's the best advice you could give them?
The best advice is...
Especially customers who've never worked in the industry before. You know there's a lot of those.
Just one thing? I have to pick one thing?
Well, no, I mean, it could be a couple things. We got time still, I'm sure.
Okay, because I got like three top things. One, just treat us like you would treat your friend, right? Like if you're talking and I walk up to the table to greet you, shut up. I've literally stood there the other day for a good 30 seconds while they continue their conversation. I'm 6'2", 180 pounds. There's no way you don't notice me standing there looming over you.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, sorry. Like literally finished his whole thing until his friend was like, hey, the server's here.
He's still there.
So, yeah. Just be respectful. And then, you know, two, you should be tipping at least 18%, unless your service was diabolically terrible. You don't know what's going on.
I always tell people to tip 20.
Yeah. Well, same, but you know, 20 is, I mean, that's the perfect world, right? 18 people standard, are like, it's like the Hank Hill thing. Like, I'm not going to give you 4 stars to give you something to work for. So, like, you know, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, even when I go out, I usually over tip. My wife hates that I tip on everything, even if it's to-go food, because you don't know, like, you know.
You don't know everyone's situation or whatever. Yeah. I try to tip. If we go out, I'm tipping on everything.
Matter. It doesn't matter. Even if it's a couple dollars, I'm giving you something.
Yeah, if it's a bartender friend, I'm trying to tip 100% unless I have a crazy bill. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I really don't drink that much. My bill's always like $20. I'm like, here's 40. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Yeah, and then you wind up drinking for free or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it pays off. But the tipping where I work is pretty terrible. And some people have really bad tipping etiquette. I go out with people that aren't in the industry. I've gone out with people and they don't tip right. And I wind up having to, like, I always check the book. I don't care if it offends my friends at this point. Yeah. I'm like, I'm looking out. I said, you can hate me, but I'm looking out for them, because especially if they were good, if they were whatever, I'm like, you do whatever you do. But even when I've had friends come in and I've hooked them up in certain places, they will tip on the whatever check I gave them, not the before the discount amount. And they only give me 18%. And I'm like, you're supposed to be my friend.
Yeah,
you should be giving me 20% or more. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then it's just like, it comes back to respect. Like, you don't know what, like, these people are going through. You don't know what kind of day we're having or how busy things are going on around here. So, like, you should give your server the benefit of the doubt, especially when it comes down to food. We don't make the food.
Exactly. Like, that is one thing I brought up the other day with someone. It's just like, man, I hate when I see a server get chewed out for the temperature of her burger. She didn't make it.
Right? And if we're going to fix it for you, if I'm going to be like, we'll get you a new burger and we'll comp it, you should be happy with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to, you know, like most places these days, they're not going to argue with people if they're upset with the food, unless it's like a habitual kind of thing. Like, if you don't like your food, we'll just get you a new dish, move on, keep the good customer, get a good tip, and that's it.
Or go somewhere else. If you've tried like three or four things on the menu and you don't like it, I hate to tell you this, but you don't like this place.
The last time I came here, it wasn't very good. So why are you here again?
Yeah, why are you still coming here? Do you just like to yell? Is that what it is?
They had to make sure it was bad. They had to.
Well, I mean, I get that to a degree. Lena and I, like, we'll give a place like 2 to 3 shots.
Yeah, but you don't get the same thing.
No. We'll get something different every time, and if they're all bad, then it's just like, okay. We don't complain. We still pay our bill. We still eat our food, and then we just mentally we leave, and we're like, okay, we're not going there again. We don't cause a scene like, everyone in here, look at me now. Everyone in this building, this is terrible. You guys should all hate this. Like, no. Taste buds are different. Yeah, taste buds are different, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
yeah.
Like, all these people here, like, yeah, you just seem to be the only one who doesn't. So, like, I don't know what to tell you.
It is what it is.
Very much it is what it is. So what other holidays coming up are you guys preparing for?
We have San Diego Padres opening day. That's a blackout date. That's like that's the first game of the first baseball game of the year at the stadium.
Yeah, I don't watch
baseball. So it gets madness. I don't know what to do. I don't either, but my livelihood depends on it at this point.
Right.
So
right.
I have to watch it.
So
once that kicks off next month, then it should get pretty busy. Usually I average like between $5,000 to $7,000 a month that where I work. So
nice.
When it's good.
When it's good, right. For us, it's like we got St. Patrick's coming up, and then after that, it's like pretty much nothing.
Yeah. Until
it's like dead. It's dead.
Until there's something in May. You guys do anything? Like, you guys get a big influx, like dirt, like when summer kicks off.
Well, no. See, so what happens is we get St. Patrick's, and then it kind of stays busy up until like May, June.
Okay.
You see a lot of people getting married, and then we also have like SCAD graduation and stuff like that, and then after that it's hurricane season, so it's like disgustingly hot and rains a ton, and basically like you wouldn't think in a place like this that there would be like a slow season during the nicer weather, but like we have technically like 3 slow seasons, so it's like that mid to late summer is all slow because of hurricanes and stuff and how hot it is. Then we have from like Christmas, well, New Year's to St. Patrick's, and then
dead.
You know, and yeah, dead, and then St. Patrick's to whatever is fine. But yeah, it's like basically like three kind of like slow seasons that we got to survive through.
Was your January worse than ever before? This was the worst January I've ever
this
had.
Slow
in my
season
entire life.
Period has been terrible. The
it's
worst ever.
Horrible.
Yeah, like the worst ever. I like almost threatened I threatened my boss, like kind of, not really threatened, but I was like, look, man. I was like, look, man, if this gets like this, like, I might have to find another job. And I'm like, if I go find another job, like, I don't think I'm coming back.
Yeah. because obviously where you're at is a very different where I'm at, but even back in Jersey, people were saying, like, and I think it's got to do with, like, the economic conditions that we're in general right now, like inflation,
yeah,
and people with money, and it's just like people are not trying to spend.
Right,
yeah, everyone's scared of so many different things. So.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible right now. Not a lot of people are coming out of their pockets with money. And I mean, just like me, like when I'm at the bar, and like I observe, because I'm not really drinking while I'm there. I'm just chilling, you know. And I see it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's weird. The demographic is weird. You've got these like 22 to 24, 25, and they're like spending their parents' money, but not really tipping. And even when it comes to the bar, like just tipping poorly at the bar as well. Then you have like the 25 to like the 36 year olds who are tipping awesome.
Yeah.
And then it's like a mix from beyond, like beyond that. It's like, it's a toss up beyond that. It's like, okay, we'll see what we get today type. But lately, the thing that saves us though, where I'm at, is we get a lot of, since the port's right there, we get, and since we have Gulfstream and stuff in the town, we get a lot of pilot, like engineers and pilots and ship people and stuff who come in from all over the world, and they're like, oh, we're here for a week, we're here for a month, we're here for 2 months, and they just like, we've got a group in here from North Dakota right now. They've been all right, but they're here until like April, and they've been here since like November. They've been here since like November. So
damn,
it's not too bad. Like we have that. I mean, for me, it's a great networking opportunity because I don't always have to. Like, when no one's singing, I just lock the booth up and, like, kind of just mingle.
Yeah.
You know? I don't always sit there, but, you know, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. But, yeah. This slow season has been absolute garbage.
Yeah.
The least amount of money I've made when it comes from, like, usually from Halloween to Christmas, I make pretty good money.
Yeah.
Not this season. It was terrible.
Worst. The worst.
It was really, really bad. But, all right, Evan, what else? You got anything going on? You got anything you want to plug? No call to action. Don't tell me to go to a website or anything like that. But if you guys got any shows coming up or anything like that?
Actually, we're about probably, hopefully, well, actually, no, it hasn't even been announced yet, but I guess I'll announce it here. We'll be going on tour in April from the 15th the free meeting will end in 10 minutes. From the 18th to the, from April 15th to the 19th, Wednesday to Sunday.
Nice. The day after my birthday, nice.
Yeah. And we'll be going from, we'll be doing Debonair Music Hall in Teaneck, New Jersey. And then we've got Cantab Lounge in Boston, Death Punch Bar in Washington, D.C., Canal Club in Richmond, Virginia. And then we're doing, Kung Fu Necktie in Philadelphia.
Nice.
So we're going to have a bunch of shows. Yeah, and it'll be good.
Where can you guys have a website? People can check you out.
Yeah. You go to theneverendersband.com or just Google the Neverenders Coheed and we'll be the first hit and you can come and check us out.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Evan. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The idea is awesome. I had AJ on that. He was crazy.
Did he have stories about working in the restaurant? Or
not really. We kind of went in other directions, but it was cool because I'm trying to do this still, but also kind of transition into other things. This way, it's not so pigeonholy. You know what I mean?
I mean, eventually, it can be about customers in general,
right? Exactly.
Whatever job you work in, yeah.
Exactly. As long as you have to deal with customers who aren't like corporate customers, like I'm into it.
Oh, you got to have me back on here in a couple months to tell you about when I worked in the car industry. Those are some horror stories, my dude. Yes.
We will revisit those. We'll revisit those. But all right, man. So you guys have been listening to The Customer Isn't Always Right, 8 o'clock Wednesdays every week. You can check it out on 107.5 FM or wruu.creek.fm. Thank you and goodbye.